Crowdfunding is a concept that I find fascinating. These innovative web platforms allow you to secure funding around an idea or a need from anyone you can reach. Many people create these pages around a product idea, and they reach out to their community for help. It's a neat little microeconomy that grows at the intersection of ingenuity and courage, where entrepreneurship is not fast enough and investors aren't the answer. The traditional route to building a business is slow. Crowdfunding offers an option to accelerate growth. It's fun to think about the different perspectives of listeners, from the general observers to would-be crowdfunders, inventors, and marketers alike. I hope you take confidence in whatever position you are in while enjoying the stories and insights.
What is the DNA of business marketing? How do we market ourselves now and in the future? Brand communications is evolving. Are you? Let's explore together. Spiral upwards. This is Spiral Marketing.
Today's featured guest is a man who has done it and now helps others crowdfund for a living. Brandon T. Adams is an inventor, entrepreneur, author, and podcast host of the University of Young Entrepreneurs. Having invented Arctic Stick and buying a tri-state ice distributorship at just 22 years old, he recognizes the main obstacles of getting started: lack of funds and resources. Brandon launched the University of Young Entrepreneurs to help support other entrepreneurs and assist them with getting their ideas funded. Regularly, Brandon appears on TV across the country promoting crowdfunding campaigns to the masses. We jump right in.
2012, I moved to Des Moines. I had $750,000 lined up. I was going to do a product development company.
Okay.
I had the business plan, everything. I didn't move forward with it for different reasons. I turned the money down, but it led me to crowdfunding. I learned a lot in that experience. But now what I do is, I mean, crowdfunding, but I have connections. I have a partner company in Lawrenceville, Georgia. So if somebody comes to me, I just send them to them because they helped me in the whole process of inventing my product, the Arctic Stick. So I have the connections to do stuff, but product development, it's very fascinating, the whole concept of it and seeing things come to life. So I see where you're coming from. I understand it. I spent a lot of money almost going through with the whole company with that. Yeah, it's, it could be an interesting business.
Very cool. So right now you run an agency that does crowdfunding?
So we run a crowdfunding service company. So you come to us and we'll help you create a campaign and launch it and market it on Kickstarter, Indiegogo. So we help you raise money on Kickstarter, Indiegogo. So like consulting service, and we really could do one-stop shop, create everything for you with that. So that is what I do. And then some other things I do, I have a company with other people called Young Entrepreneur Convention. It's an event we just did. So we put on an event in Iowa, but we're going to eventually take it across the country, do events for with entrepreneurs, come in, do a pitch competition, everything else. But one of the things I'm working on now with my team is to do events, like two-day events in different cities across the country, starting in October. I think we're going to do California. And then every month we'll go to a different city, make it where anywhere from 30 to 50 people can come, make it more exclusive. And we'll have the event. We'll sell some kind of package at the end. But some big things I'm working on now. I'm really focused on having this support system for millennials and young entrepreneurs through the TV, podcasting, the speaking I do, and through these events. Because my life goal is to impact, well, my 14-year-old goal, 13 years and 6 months, I want to impact a billion people by the time I'm 40.
Wow.
So I'll do that through doing these shows, doing TV. The TV show I'm launching July 11th on Kickstarter. We're launching for a TV show. It's called Ambitious Adventures, where we travel the country. We interview entrepreneurs in different cities, specifically millennials. We highlight how they've become successful, what they're doing, the city they have, the ecosystems, and we turn that into a TV show. So we're going to start filming end of July, and then we'll film through November, and then it'll air in 2017. So we're kickstarting that July 11th. So all these things I'm doing, everything I do is aligned with our goal and my team. There's five of us, well, more than that, but the main guys working on this project and everything we're doing with Brandon T. Adams, my brand, is we want to impact a billion people by the time I'm 40. So 13 years, 6 months. And that's my why. I love to help people. I think we all have a gift. Just not everybody uses it. And if I can help them through what everything that we do, help them figure out what it is so they can focus the rest of their life on doing it. Because life is short. We're all going to die. Why not spend your life doing something that you love, enjoying life? Because I am fulfilled. I love what I do. And if I can share that, make sure other people do that, whether you're doing marketing, you're doing podcasting, you're a fucking plumber, you're whatever it is you do, long as you're just doing the best you can at it and you're loving what you do. Don't be that person that bitches and I hate what I do or the reason this or that, because it's not worth it.
Right. Go do something else.
Yeah. So that's my why. And crowdfunding is a big thing for it. I mean, I help people raise money for their dream project. And it helps them in the future with everything, attract people and for their industry. And it's fun. You can make a lot of money. It just aligns with that goal. So, and I became the king of crowdfunding. You know, you do something long enough, you can become dubbed something. And that's something I just kind of got my name for.
I love it, man. Well, welcome to the show.
Welcome to the show.
I think that was a perfect bio. Let's talk about marketing for crowdfunding. And for those who aren't familiar with crowdfunding on platforms like Kickstarter, GoFundMe, Indiegogo, like you mentioned, I thought it might be helpful to give a quick definition and maybe talk through any industry terms or jargon.
Yeah, definitely. And let me first start kind of how I got into it. So sure. You guys can understand why I do it. My why for crowdfunding and how I got into this. We talked about inventing before products. I invented one day a product called the Arctic Stick that cools and flavors your drink. The reason why I invented a product like that is I grew up in an ice business. My dad started an ice company in 1986, worked ever since and been a part of it. I bought the company out 2 years ago, but it was a hot day that I was delivering ice and I wanted to keep a bottle beverage cold. And it's time consuming to put ice cubes in. I wanted something that fit inside easily to cool my drink, but also to be able to flavor it. So I came up with this idea called Arctic Stick. And fast forward 3 years after getting a patent, trademarks, going on pilot run of a TV show, did Shark Tank casting call, all these different things, the stories, I finally got my product to market. And after spending $100,000 and multiple raising money from family and friends and just bootstrapping, all kinds of things, my last leg of funding, I did a crowdfunding campaign. I turned a Kickstarter, and going into it, I thought that I knew what crowdfunding was. I saw the campaigns that had a lot of success. I'm like, if they can do it, I can do it. I thought that spending tens of hours just studying the market, I would know what I'm doing. So I launched. It was July of 2014, almost exactly 2 years ago. Wow, time flies. And I launched the Arctic Stick, new innovative Arctic Stick. You can find it on Kickstarter. You can just Google Arctic Stick. I've got a name for myself with it. So I did the campaign, 33-day campaign, did everything wrong, but we still reached our goal. It was a $25,000 goal. We raised $26,421. But I mean, I got some publicity, got on from Shark Tank casting call. I actually pitched in front of the line to just, there was cameras, got me on USA Today. I got on a couple TV stations, got on radio stations, got in articles and just grinded. So I did do some things right, but if I would have known all the things I could have done prior to prepare for that launch, I would have had a lot more. I probably could have did six figures. But after that campaign was done, I realized that 65 to 70% of the campaigns are failing because people like me, they didn't know what they were doing and they thought that it was going to be easy. So I got obsessed with it. I studied the market and I just traveled around the country interviewing other people. Did the podcast show, wrote a book on crowdfunding, ended up going on TV across the country. I'm actually the only person in the world that I know that goes on TV across the country. I talk about crowdfunding, but at the end, I will promote a campaign in that city that's live. So I've promoted in Albuquerque, New Mexico, Vegas, California. I did one, Indianapolis, you name it. And just promote the campaign. Don't even tell the people. So that got me a little known. And then from there, I started doing campaigns. And the big success we had was with John Lee Dumas, the podcaster, his book, The Freedom Journal, which I got the shirt on. We raised $453,000 in 33 days and had over 7,000 backers. It's the fifth largest crowdfunding campaign for a book in history. But I learned a lot from that and now just multiple campaigns. So that's how I got to the credibility and got to where I am, overnight success, years in the making. But in terms of crowdfunding, I mean, you want to go on the marketing aspect. It's about marketing. If people don't see your project, how do they know to give you money? And there's a lot of things prior to your campaign. It's funny. I just got a call with a potential client talking about what we need to do to prepare. I mean, one of the last campaigns we had, we got on Inc. the day of launch. So to get marketing and publicity for your campaign, there's multiple steps you got to do. And one of the things I got to say, and key for anybody listening, when you do a crowdfunding campaign, your goal is to get 30 to 40% of your total funding goal in the first 48 hours. The reason for this is all this attraction at the beginning with the algorithm, with the amount of pledges, money allocated, and comments and attraction on the page, obviously it goes higher up in the search engine. And on Kickstarter and Indiegogo, you may be featured or you may be trending, but more eyeballs. It'll be predominant feature where more people see you and you get organic backing. And then that gets the wheels going where you get more organic traffic and the momentum shoots right up. But you need to get prepared for that day one of launch because that's very vital. And if you don't reach 30 to 40% of your total funding goal in the first 48 hours, your chance of success are going to go down. It's dwindled. But then and people are going to look at it and they're like, oh, it's not going to succeed. They won't back it. Everybody will look at that. So you got to get a lot of success at the beginning. How do you get that success at the beginning? You prepare 45 to 60 days ahead of time. The things that you put in place, what we do for marketing. I believe the best Facebook guy there is. He saw me on a Ty Lopez show and he reached out to me and he's amazing. He's really good at what he does and he's on our team and he helps us prior to the campaign. We create a landing page and we have content about what the campaign is going to be about. We have an opt-in. Basically, it says you'll get exclusive offers or we'll give you 30, 40% off the product on day one of launch by following us. And he does targeted ads, really good target. We can target anybody and sends them the page. And what we're doing is we're building up our potential backers. So all these potential people that are interested on day one of launch, we send them, hey, here's an exclusive offer, the early bird special, back our campaign. And that's how you get that 30 to 40% in the first 48 hours. And again, anybody that touches that page, just goes to it. I mean, most people know this. The pixels, I mean, we can target anybody that just goes to the page alone because you embed that pixel. So that's the first stand of marketing. That's very vital. The money that you spend in ads is very – the ROI is great prior to launch. And then once you launch, you already have people in – I always say like you got all the fish in the pond. Now it's just catching them. That's what it is because you already have people potentially interested. Then it's just really marketing efforts towards them people to get them to back your campaign. So that's one big thing prior that most people don't do. And that's what we found out that's something you need to do. So Facebook is a big thing for doing ads.
And pre-launch, that's part of your pre-launch campaign.
That's part of pre-launch and then during the campaign. You got to be active on social media. I mean, Facebook's the best ROI. I mean, videos, doing short 15-second videos that get their attention. I mean, we live in a world where our ADD is increasing. I mean, I alone, squirrel brain, it's like hard to pay attention. But when you do pay attention, it's something that's great content in the videos. Also, a lot of videos now, like you may not even listen to the word, but you got the text below.
Right.
So you actually watch it. So you put these short 15, 30-second videos out that talk about your project and you get them to go to the page to back. So do a bunch of videos, promote them, put some money into them. Again, this is just on the actual social media for doing ads. I mean, doing Facebook. Beyond that, some great marketing efforts is building up your ambassador program. So I call it ambassador program. An ambassador program is basically you getting influencers in your field to support the campaign. So your army of people that believe in your project. And I say like, let's say you're going to crowdfund a fitness product. Find the top influencers in the industry. Maybe you get Tony Horton or you get Sean T. I'm just thinking the names that sure. come to my mind.
That's good.
Get these people to commit to help support your campaign. So they have a huge email list, a huge following. Get them to send out to their list on day one. Get them to do a tweet out or do a Facebook share to their massive audience and get them to actually help you spread the word because you got to leverage other people's audiences. The more ambassadors you get on, the more numbers you hit. It's a numbers game. And the email list is very important. You got to leverage that email list, yours and everybody else's. And to get them on board to support this, for one, I mean, you can offer them a unique offers. Maybe you offer them a pledge level for free. Maybe you offer to put them on your website or you just want to promote. Maybe on the campaign page, our supporters or ambassadors have a picture of the person, have a logo up and that clicks to their page. So then they obviously get value out of that. Some people you can do JV. I mean, give them an affiliate link. And let's say they send to their 100,000 email list and they send 20,000 of backing pledges to your campaign, give them 10-15% of that. I mean, that's just custom or whatever you come out with, because that's something you never planned on. Getting these partners lined up ahead of time is big. In terms of getting media, what I like to do is for day one of launch, I like to line a lot of podcast shows up that launch either the day one of launch or during the campaign. So you're talking about it and you promote it and people hear it and then they go to the page and actually back. Podcast shows is big. And then getting the actual like bloggers and people on board. So we'll have people send out prior to the campaign, send out to the journal. We've built up massive lists. And it is beyond like some people just do a massive send out. Like people, you can pay money. It's a joke. And they'll send out to like 10,000 journalists or whatever. I mean, 90% of them probably go in the junk mail and nobody sees them. So what we do is we've built up relationships with different bloggers, journalists, but also we reach out to these people and we send a message custom to them. And then we'll have like a video blow or something, but then we'll follow up. And we make sure we always have, because I've done this for getting on TV, like I time when we sent out, because once you find out the timing of when people actually check their emails and journal, they get so many different emails a day. You can figure out their schedule and then send them follow up. And it may take one time, it took me 4 or 5 emails before I even got a reply. But get these people to do an article. Ideally, if you can get them ahead of time to do day one, but if they don't, they at least know about you. And then once you have that success, be like, hey, we had a huge day. We raised 100 grand in, I don't know, 2 days, whatever it was, and show them success. And they'll see that. They're like, I want to do a story on you. And find an approach that people like. I mean, I know this. I could teach like a marketing class in this or even for Get on TV. Like if you give the journalist or the producer or anybody the story they want, you'll get what you want. Give them a great story, something that people like. Maybe it's a timely thing. For John's campaign is perfect because the book, The Freedom Journal, helps you set and accomplish goals. And we launched it January 4th.
Nice.
It's New Year's resolution. You set and accomplish your goals. I went on day of launch. I went on TV in San Diego and talked about it and even had the producer like, oh, this is a great book and everything. But then like it's ideal timing because everybody's thinking about it. Everybody wants to set their fitness goal, whatever. So that was ideal timing for that. We launched that. And I mean, clearly the success shows, but for you and your idea, what is the timing? If you're doing a fitness product, maybe you want to do it in January, or maybe you want to do it going into the summer. What is a great timing when people are going to think about the product that they're going to buy from you from your crowdfunding campaign? Like what time of the year are you going to think about it? Great example, the coolest cooler, the first time around, they had a $125,000 funding goal. They raised $103,000. They failed. A big reason for that is because they launched it was November, December. It was during the year. They thought they'd hit the market for Christmas and everything, but it's the cooler. Nobody's thinking about that time of year.
Right.
They relaunched in July, actually exact same time I did my Arctic Stick campaign. It's the summertime. Everybody's thinking about a cooler. They raised at that time until Pebble came in. They had the largest crowdfunding campaign in history at $13.2 million. Timing was perfect. It's on people's minds. That's when they sold. I mean, these are just simple marketing tips that you can do with your campaign. Think about the timing. So if anybody out there wants to do a campaign, when are people thinking about your product that you're going to create? When is it going to be on their mind? Think about launching during that time. Or maybe there's an event that you can tie in with that gets people thinking. When it's on their mind, they'll buy. I mean, it's like you go to Walmart. You go to Walmart and during camping season or these things, they're going to stock up on all the things that they know you're going to buy that time of year. And then once it's not the time of year, they won't. For your campaign, that's when you want to have it launched because people think about they buy it. One simple tip people do wrong, and even the biggest campaigns did wrong, but relaunched. So timing is big for publicity. And other things, I mean, following up, for getting articles, you just got to follow up. I mean, I have another podcast show, Beyond the University Young Entrepreneurs, I have a podcast show called Keys of the Crowd. I've interviewed a lot of people and done campaigns. And the one big thing is they've said from some of their articles like Engadget or Gizmag or these, like some of them, one post alone has directed $50,000 to their campaign because you can track it on the back end.
Wow. That's incredible.
One post. So if you send out to thousands of outlets, you have somebody send out for you, like it just takes one to change everything because you don't know. You can't even put a price tag. It's priceless on that effect because, yes, that directs 50,000, but what if somebody later sees an ad and they're like, oh, I just saw that, and then they back. So you got to get a lot of awareness. That's why I say tell the world about what you're doing, Facebook marketing, blogs, the podcast show. Throw a lot of darts. One of them is going to hit a bullseye, and for your campaign, it's going to make it very successful.
Well, that's awesome. It's incredible. You just knocked out 8 questions in 20 minutes without me asking any of them.
I did good then.
You really did. So why don't we go back just a couple of steps and give a little bit of background for people who have almost no idea what crowdfunding is. I mean, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this. Yeah. You know, somebody's got an idea.
I should probably start this first. Yeah.
It's all good. But I think it'll be helpful because I think folks may have ideas and they may even have prototypes and things like that, but they don't know when to come into the game here. So definition of crowdfunding, they've got an idea, they want to get funding in return for giving away something, not equity generally, right?
Yeah. So there's two crowdfunding. There's equity crowdfunding and there's reward based. And what I specialize in is reward based. And I do have a team that can actually do the equity side. Equity crowdfunding is when you raise money from people, there's a lot of legal issues you have to go through. They just passed a law on this.
The Jobs Act, I believe, right?
Yeah. And there's, I can't something think of the other, to it. Anyway. There's something else too. It recently happened. So you can raise money from the crowd and they can get a percentage of your company from online platform. So that's equity crowdfunding. And then there's a reward base. And that's what I specialize in. So reward-based crowdfunding platforms, the main ones that we use or that people use are Kickstarter or Indiegogo. So basically it's a site where you can, for free, you can create a login and you can create a campaign page. You can put up a video. You can have pictures, basically your own website and all this content, and you're raising money from the crowd to help fund your idea, your passion project, whatever you're doing. Most people think that, okay, when they do these campaigns, people on the back end, some people that don't know crowdfunding, like, oh, I'm just giving you money, like donate money. It's not. You're basically pre-ordering for most, and if it's an invention, people are pre-ordering your product and you're using their money to create the product. And then in return, they get the product at a discounted rate and they get a unique experience and they feel like they're a part of it. They're collaborating to help create the idea. So that's what crowdfunding is. You're raising money from the crowd and they're getting something in return, but what you're getting is money to help create your idea. Or some cases now, they're just doing it a great way to market things and get it out there. So a pledge level for when we did Arctic Stick, we had a $15 pledge level for 3 Arctic Sticks. And so they pledged $15. And what I did is I used the 26 grand to create the tooling, create the product. In return, I sent out to them 3 Arctic Sticks and whatever else I had. So that's what crowdfunding is. And again, Kickstarter, Indiegogo are 2 different crowdfunding platforms to use. And 5% of the total raise goes to them platforms. And then you got to figure 3% goes to credit card and processing. And there are 20 cents per transaction for pledge, for each pledge that goes through. So for anybody out there with an idea, let's say you want to start a business. Let's say you want to do a nonprofit, or let's say you want to take a product to market because it's very expensive, as you know.
Right.
You can have the prototype created. You can have the visuals and tell the story in a video, like what you're doing, why you think it's great, why you want to take it to market, how it can help people, and ask the crowd for their help to help create it with their money to back. And then you basically use their money to create the idea. And then return, give them the product at a discounted rate. So it's a win-win for both if you do it successful. And it's a way to even see if there's a demand for that idea, because a lot of people spend tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars to create something nobody wants. Crowdfunding is a way to see if people actually want it. And if they want it, awesome, go forward with it. If they don't, move on to the next idea.
Beautiful. And part of that is a goal. You set a goal. It's $100,000, $10,000, $25,000. You mentioned in the Arctic Stick case. What happens if you don't hit that goal?
In Kickstarter, it's all or nothing. If you go set out to raise 10 grand, you have to raise all 10 grand or you don't get the money. But for Indiegogo, they have flexible funding. So you can set a $10,000 goal. And let's say the end of your 30-day campaign, if you set it at 30 days, you raise 8 grand, you can still get the money. So that's the difference between Indiegogo and Kickstarter. Kickstarter is The differences, the main ones is Kickstarter is all or nothing, and Kickstarter does not allow charity for raising money. Indiegogo has flexible funding, and they have the option if you want to do charity for a nonprofit, you can actually have a verified nonprofit on your page and raise money for charity or really anything else you want. Those are the two differences.
Amazing. Well, it sounds like Kickstarter has a huge disadvantage from a feature standpoint, but it sounds like they still lead the pack by a lot from a brand awareness standpoint.
So that's the difference between them. So Kickstarter definitely has more. Last time I knew it was 29 million unique visitors a month to their website, and they're more known. Kickstarter, I always relate it. It's like the premium brand over maybe a generic, but Kickstarter is more known and traction. And for the gaming industry, the film industry, they're great in a book. They're great to do. But Indiegogo has it more flexible for you to be able to, I mean, really raise money for anything. There's no guidelines because Kickstarter, if they don't like your product, they'll deny you. I've been denied by them before. Wow. Indiegogo, they're open to about anything. And it's flexible funding, and they're actually their support system, I believe, is a lot better for helping you, assisting you when you do a campaign.
Interesting. Okay. When do you advise not to go the crowdfunding route?
You know, it just depends on your situation. Here's the one thing people don't realize. People come to me all the time. They think they're going to do a crowdfunding campaign and they're going to do minimal work and it's just going to be success. Right. It's not that way. It takes a lot of work. It's just like going out and raise money from VCs. Like, it's a lot of work. So you are going to have to put work in. If you're not prepared or ready or have the time to put in the work, then don't do a crowdfunding campaign. For us, when we work with somebody, we spend 2 months with them. We both work together. Each one has to do a lot of work to prepare for the campaign. And then we do a 30, 35 day campaign, and it's nonstop. And our team's 6 people. And then whatever your team is, you need to have a good team. So that's, if you're not willing to put the work in, don't do crowdfunding. But what I say is you could go spend all the time for a VC and give up equity, or you can do a crowdfunding campaign, pay some percentage out, but don't give up equity, have a lot of success, raise money. But that money you raise can allow you to attract other investors. I've seen it many times. There's campaigns out there. There's one, I can't think of the name. They raised $2.5 million on Kickstarter. 2 years later, they got bought out for $1 billion.
Whoa.
Yeah, talk about attracting investors. And I mean, for some of our campaigns, people come to us afterwards or during, they want to invest, like actually invest. Money attracts money. If you have success on this platform, you're going to attract not only investors, you're going to attract potential, if you're doing product licensing deals, you're going to attract potential partnerships. You're going to attract things that you would never expect that can help you jumpstart your business beyond the funding. Alone, if you just break even with your funding, you're not, I mean, you're getting so much more out of it, because a lot of people, like campaign we did, Kevin Harrington, the Rizzle Shark of Shark Tank, just did a campaign for him. John Lee Dumas, I mean, tells everybody he's a millionaire. These right. guys don't need
he's,
the money.
He's a former guest, by the way.
Yeah, great guy. He was on my show too. Good friend of mine. John, they don't need the money. It's a way to attract a new audience, to build up your email list, to get media attention, and to do something very collaborative, to have the crowd help create it. And the last one we just did for Kevin Harrington, a book, Put a Shark in Your Tank. What we did is we had the crowd be able to contribute to the book, pledge X amount of dollars, and they helped us create the book. And we'll come out with that in the fall. It's just a new way, because we're all in this generation about collaborative, working together and creating cool things as a team. And that's where crowdfunding is very interesting to me. It doesn't have to be about the money. It's just a way to create new products that people actually want.
Outstanding. Well, something I want to circle back to is you mentioned the team. And I think that that's crucial, because the roles and responsibilities, it seems daunting, I'm sure, to any one particular listener. You know, how much is one person going to do? It's more than a full-time job. So how do you break up the roles and responsibilities? What do you think is required?
Well, I mean, again, when I did my first one, I was between the three of us. It was my girlfriend at the time and then my business partner now, who works with me. And I, like, we all did the social media. We all did everything. Mm-hmm. But like, to have a legit team, I'll break down my team. So I have a Facebook ads expert. He's really good at Facebook ads. I have a guy that does social media. I'll do posts, but he creates content. He's very good at copywriting. He's very good at visuals and just creative mind. He thinks outside the box. He's on our team. We have an operations manager, which he works with each client, and he plans out the timeline and makes sure everybody's like the manager of everybody to make sure they're following and following up and doing the things they need to do. We have the PR person that actually reaches out and does the media side. That's their job. They do the media. If you need a videographer that'll actually create the video, he's an expert in doing the video. You have me, who is actually the connector and building the relationships and actually promoting too, because of the podcast shows I go on and the media connections I have and everything else. You have the expert in each area. And if you can bring all these experts together, your mastermind group, that's how you have success. So for anybody listening, either find a group like us or just have a team, get the expert in each area and how to get them motivated. If they're not your co-founders, offer them a percentage of the raise so they're motivated to have it successful. Otherwise, what makes them motivated to have success with that unless they really believe in it? Have the expert in each area to leverage them different components of it. The big thing is you need a Facebook guy. You need a social media guy that's good at marketing, and somebody's very creative with putting your page together. It's really telling your story, because storytelling is, over years, has proven to be the most successful people tell great stories. Tell your great story through your video and through your campaign page. Show them visuals. Give them something they believe in and they'll buy into.
Love it. Fantastic. Okay. And at what point do you suggest somebody go to crowdfunding? Do you recommend that they have a product? Do you recommend that they've hit a stumbling point where they need to fund their prototype? What do you think?
It depends on each situation. I would say for a product, if you're at the prototyping stage, because you can get prototypes anymore with rapid prototyping, 3D printing. I mean, right. You get it for a few hundred bucks. I would say when you have a prototype and you have some market research done, and CAD drawings and visuals, you're ready to do a crowdfunding campaign, because the tooling is what is expensive. I mean, you could spend tens of thousands of dollars on tooling, but if you have the thing that looks just like your product, you just can't mass produce it, use that. That's when you're ready to put up a crowdfunding campaign. Say, hey, we did all these steps. We just need to pay for the tooling. That's for a product person. That's what you do. Example for an event we did, we crowdfunded the whole event. It was Young Entrepreneur Convention. We did this back in November. We wanted to create an awesome event. We need to attract speakers. We need to attract sponsors. We need to attract for ticket sales and money to actually pay for the venue to get started and other costs. So we did a crowdfunding campaign and we raised about $16,000 on the page itself. And we sold, pre-sold tickets. We tracked speakers, paid the venue and everything. But that allowed us to raise a lot of money after, because people saw that success from that. We got sponsors because of it. We had a lot of people still looking at that page itself. So that allowed us to track our people. So that was just us, a simple idea. We had the idea like, okay, let's sell the vision on a crowdfunding campaign and use the crowd's money to create it and have them be a part of it. So at that time, it was just at the idea stage. It depends on what you're crowdfunding, but you need to, for a product, you need to make sure like you have at least some initial steps. Because if you just have something on a napkin and say, hey, this is what I'm crowdfunding, like, that's not going to work.
Right. How about intellectual property, the patents, things like that?
Oh, that's a touchy subject. That's a whole other thing.
I know you're not a lawyer, but.
No, I'm not a lawyer.
What's your opinion on that?
You know, that's funny. I actually have done some stuff with the Washington, the Patent Act. If you're aware with it, there's a thing called Innovation Act, which basically what it does, it's favored for bigger companies and it taxes small inventors. Actually, there's a Pandora commercial out with me, 30-second commercial. I'm talking about Arctic Stick. I've spoken boards for this before. And
very cool.
Highly, yeah. But the whole thing is like, here's my view on it. Like, obviously, and I'm no lawyer. Everybody has their opinion. I have a patent, trademarks. For me, in the process of something, you're going to have to tell people about your idea to move it forward. You're going to have to, because it won't go anywhere. Some people I've seen in Shark Tank casting where they have things in a box and they hide them because they don't want to show their ideas. Like, you're crazy. People don't steal ideas unless you're making a lot of money. That's what gets stolen. But you can send out for a provisional patent. I guess if you want to at least get a provisional patent before you launch your campaign or get something in place, I would consult with a lawyer. And a lot of people do that before they launch. For me, I've never really personally thought, like, cared, because quite honestly, if somebody did steal your idea, if you find a really good lawyer, they'll work off of a percentage. If you could find them, I know lawyers that'll do that. Or you can find them and you could sell out. But it just depends on the situation. That's my view of it. But again, talk with a lawyer first.
That's good. That's fair. I don't know if I would imagine that, well, patents are so expensive, not the provisional patents, but patents are so expensive that I imagine that a lot of folks will crowdfund that.
The patent itself. Piece. I mean, it took me $15,000 for my patent for the Arctic Stick. Yeah, the patent and trademark process. And that's a simple product. I have the plaque and all that to provide for it. But, you know, if a huge
company. It's an expensive plaque, but.
It's an expensive plaque. But people, I mean, still could steal your idea. I mean, in China or wherever else.
Sure.
But yeah.
Well, I think that's a good segue for how much to set for your goal. Is it just simply put, you collect your costs and your profit margin and that's your goal? What do you think?
So it depends on what your goal is with your campaign, not your funding goal. Like, what is your actual goal with the campaign? Again, we talked about people that don't need the money. What is your goal? Like, what do you want to accomplish? Do you want it? Are you doing it to build up your audience? Are you doing it to get media attention? If you actually need the money, let's say you need $50,000, no matter what, make sure you set it for $50,000. And I would do, if you're doing Kickstarter, I mean, it's all or nothing, because if you raise $45,000 and it's on Indiegogo, but you don't have enough money to do it, like, there you are. You have $45,000, but you still need there $5,000. So always make sure too, if money is an issue, make sure you're figuring all expenses, figuring shipping. This work campaigns, they get into a lot of trouble. They raise a lot of money. They don't figure in shipping. And Coolest Cooler is going through this too. I mean, because they didn't plan for that large of order and they're shipping. It's a cooler. It's very expensive ship.
The big box.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's, expensive. So figuring your shipping costs for everything, make sure you figure that in and figure that into your funding. But if you're somebody that's just raising for in terms of awareness and stuff, you can lower your funding goal and it because you know you have the money to do it anyways. And that allows you to hit your 30 to 40% of the total funding goal right away, which allows you to supercharge your campaign with the algorithm and everything. So some campaigns will just lower their funding goal even though they know they need X amount of dollars to do it. So that's an option. It just depends on the situation. But I highly suggest if you really do need the money, make sure you're setting your goal high enough.
Okay. Okay. Well, I want to ask what we would give. But before I do that, I have a question, which I can feel it slipping.
I know what that's like, buddy.
Yeah, I got the ADD brain too, my friend.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not our fault. It's TV's fault, I'm sure.
It is. It's social media, Facebook.
Right. Yep. TV and internet. Okay. The question, it relates to full-time, part-time. In terms of those responsibilities, I'm sure people have full-time jobs. They have other businesses. VCs always say that they're looking for CEOs who are full-time one project. That's it. Do you feel like it's a similar situation for crowdfunding? Or do you think if you divest to build a team out and set up those responsibilities properly, that it's okay? What do you think?
Well, I mean, obviously in my experience, I have a team. So like, I don't have to do, I've done everything in each part. I've done the social media. I've done the copy. I've done things that I don't know very well, but I've done it all. Sure. Now I have a team where I don't have to. I'm really the person that goes out and gets crowdfunding prospects and actually promotes.
How about your clients?
Yeah. Yeah. And here's the thing. Like if you're doing a project, obviously if it's like your baby, you're going to want to put the most work in but you still want to build a team around you. And there's no campaign. I believe anyways, if you just think that like, okay, you're going to have your team do it, but you're the sole person, the idea guy behind it, and the story behind it, people will buy into you. They want to see who's the guy that's actually creating this. So you got to be that person that's there to sell them that vision and your baby, like tell them where it first started and why you want to do this versus somebody else. I believe the personal touch is really big for a crowdfunding campaign. So if you're the CEO of the company, if it's your baby, you should be involved with it. And I believe you should be doing more work than anybody else, even though you have a team.
So it sounds more like dedication rather than actual time.
Dedication.
Okay. Beautiful. Yeah. Beautiful. Okay. Well, then how about what to give? I know it depends, but.
So if it's a product, give them, you're talking for the reward levels, right?
Correct.
So if it's a product, give a discounted rate on your product. So make it exclusive. So let's say your product's going to retail for $100 when it hits stores. But since people are actually backing you, give them a great opportunity. Say, I'll give it to you for $60 during this campaign, only available during this 30-day campaign. After that, it's going to go up. So people feel like they need to back because they're once in a lifetime opportunity. Beyond product, you can do experiences, give them experience that they can't resist, give them something to remember. Maybe they want to be credits in the movie. For example, the campaign we're doing for Ambitious Adventures, we're doing a TV show, travel around the country, every entrepreneurs. People for $10,000, they can, given we go through and make sure they're credible enough, they can buy a segment on the TV show.
Wow.
So for 10 grand, or they can be a producer of the show if they pledge enough. We're creating these unique opportunities that they would only get during this time for season one. Or you want to come to the red carpet event, you can pledge this. Those are experiences that people value and they want to be a part of to help create something because it makes it big on TV. They're like, wow, I help support that. That's the experience. So maybe you're creating experience. If you're doing a charity, a nonprofit, you're doing it on Indiegogo, people want to see directly where the money's going. That's what we find out. Like people want to know, okay, let's say I give you $100. Let them know $100, you are directly supporting two people in whatever country or whatever, because it's touch you when you're dealing with like a charity. So make sure people are seeing where their money's going exactly. Otherwise, they're going to say, that's just another charity. What percent of it actually goes to that? Like these are things you got to think about. So that would be the things you would offer, the basis anyways.
Okay, excellent. And I suppose that relates as well if you're in the prototyping stage?
The prototyping stage, I mean, you're basically, you're telling them what the product will be. So they're pre-ordering what the product's going to be.
Sure.
So the prototyping stage for, you know, go back to Arctic Stick, say we're going to retail at $15. We're going to sell it to them for $8 on the campaign page, and they would get the finished product at the end.
I see. And that's what you did. You campaigned at the prototyping stage?
Yep. Yep. I campaigned at the prototyping stage and used the crowd's money to fund the tooling stage and then sent the product out. And then you have unique opportunities. Like I had some celebrities where, hey, you want to spend a day with a celebrity or you want to, I mean, people do that too. You want to have dinner with somebody or offer what you have of value and people will buy it.
Perfect. Okay. Do you have a mantra or a question you like to ask yourself to stay inspired in the work?
To ask myself to stay inspired.
Or inspire your clients.
I do that a lot. I relate back to where I was for Arctic Stick, everything I went through, anything is possible, you know? And I always tell people that. And I say that, I mean, it can be a lie. You look at it, it's like, it's treacherous. But the thing is, I show them all this work that you can do now, it can affect you for years to come. And it does. I'm still seeing it for Arctic Stick. Like the work you put in now will affect you for a while. So put it in. It's well worth it. It's going to help you attract these investors. It's going to help you with future deals and project. It's done once. You have this. You can show the world for it. And I'm big on the mindset on things. I'm big with Napoleon Hill, Think and Grow Rich, whatever the mind conceives and believes the mind achieves. I tell everybody, like, if you want something bad enough, focus on it, consume your mind with it, and put in the steps necessary to make it happen. And I'm just constantly on people like, hey, this is what you need to do. You need to make sure you get this done and it'll be well worth it. And if you believe in it, you will make it happen. And that's me, I guess, kind of mentoring and coaching people that I work with to make sure they do stay on track because it can be tough. You need a support system. That's for anything beyond crowdfunding. You need a team around you that's willing to support you and help you through the tough times to get through launch day and then through the rest of the campaign.
Absolutely. Excellent. What do you see for the future of this changing industry? You mentioned some of the innovation acts and the patent acts. What do you see for the future?
Yeah. So, I mean, that's in terms of like license or for protecting your ideas. That actually in our favor, a small inventor came in our favor for that. It got shut down. But in terms of crowdfunding, by 2020, I've met with the founder of Kickstarter, spent a day with that guy. Cool guy, Perry Chang, and then also interviewed Slava Rubin, the founder of Indiegogo, the two main crowdfunding platforms. Slava said something that really, really blew my mind. He said by 2020, we will see one campaign, an individual campaign that raises $1 billion. So that sounds crazy, but with our exponential growth of technology, everything, I'd see it very possible. What it being is, what'll happen is eventually if a big catastrophe, a hurricane or something big happens, we'll come together and crowdfund it, like other things, raise money to help support this. And crowdfunding is growing at exponential rates, still new. People still like, oh, what's Kickstarter? What's Indiegogo?
Right.
For me, it's like, really? But it's still new and it's just going at a faster rate. And I mean, it's cool to see where the wave is coming to blow up because it's the easiest way. It's the easiest way to fail with your idea, easiest way to succeed. If you know what you're doing, you'll succeed. And it's a way to use a crowd to help collaborate. So you're crowdsourcing, crowdfunding, crowd marketing an idea to market. Because in our generation moving forward, it's all about collaboration. People are buying experiences. Crowdfunding is an experience for people. So it's a great way in my mind to take your idea to market. It's just getting started.
Fantastic. All right. Is there anything that you'd like to add before we wrap up?
You know, I just got to say, for anybody out there, you have an idea for crowdfunding. I mean, if you believe in it, it's crowdfundable. You look at it, put in the steps, it's well worth it. And you work your butt off and you find a team that can help you, a team like me or anybody else. It's well worth it. Put in the work and you will have success. And anything in life, if you want something, go after it. If you believe in yourself, the biggest thing is having confidence. Whatever the mind conceives and believes, the mind achieves. If you want something, tell the world that you want it. It'll attract to you and you'll get it. If you work hard, there is light at the end of the tunnel and you'll achieve everything you want. I've seen it proven my own self from everything I've done. There is a light at the end of the tunnel. Just work hard and you'll get to whatever you want in life.
Fantastic. That was awesome. What is the best place for folks to learn more about you and to reach you?
Yeah. So I have a podcast and blog at BrandonTAdams.com. If anybody wants to work with me with crowdfunding, just go to keystothecrowd.com. I guess I didn't even mention, if somebody wants to, I have a course on crowdfunding. If they want to buy the course, they put in the code FUND. That's F-U-N-D. That's my own formula. FUND. You'll get a 20% discount off the course. You can get that. And find me for following me, Snapchat. I don't know if you're on Snapchat.
I am.
But I'm a Snapchatter, BTAdams18. I love Snapchat. I think it's a great new way to communicate with people. And yeah, check that out and you'll see all the behind the scenes stuff with me.
Okay. All right. You don't want to give away the FUND formula, do you?
The FUND formula.
The four letters?
The FUND formula. F for forethought. Everything you do prior to your campaign. U for Eli's marketing plan. The marketing you do. N for narrative, telling a great story through your campaign page and your video, and D for deliver value. If you deliver value and reward levels, you'll have success. The FUND formula is how you have success with crowdfunding.
Awesome. Brandon, thank you so much for being on the show. This was amazing.
Thank you so much, man. I appreciate it.
It's a pleasure. We are fortunate to hear Brandon's perspective and observe the energy, even the sheer willpower, he wields to make these crowdfunding projects happen in a big way. He's a pioneer in relatively uncharted territory. Now, the human element behind every request for dollars is a human story that the audience needs to hear, identify with, and care about. It's as true in crowdfunding as it is in just about all marketing. Don't forget the human side. Tell a story people care about. Thanks for listening. Cheers.